Blog Talk Radio.
Play Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the rise.
Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs,
Yes, Lord, we got a brand new present. What? Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of me.
Come on,
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Yes, 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 Sports City, we are in the building. It is the Callers Cookout here on another Wednesday, September 22nd, live in the place to be. You're with the villain. The hero himself is in the building. We got a lot to unpack. Welcome to the kitchen. We're cooking up something lovely for you. The call-in number 929-477-2759. With you for the next 60 minutes, talking a little sports here, serving up some dishes. Every hero needs a villain, and I got the best hero in the world, TP Timeless. TP, what's up, my brother?
I took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped outside. The kitchen Timeless is alive. Ready to get this thing going. Happy hump day to everybody out there in the world. You already know what time this is. Thank you to everybody that's been supporting the website. SportsCityChefs.com is where we are at. You can get all our merch and, of course, the stuff that we put out here on a weekly basis. Shout out to the buffet. Baseball will be taking off tomorrow. We got a lot of stuff to kick off today, including our perspective for tomorrow in the game, which is the Thursday night showdown, too. And, week two, week three, like we're in the midst of it all. A lot of people doing their fantasy football and things of that nature. College football here. It's the most wonderful time of the year. As of today, this is the first day of fall. So I love it. I'm ready.
My favorite. Absolutely. I love the fall. Shout out to everybody supporting us on the websites, on the blogs, with the podcast. Shout out to the barbershop, our sister station. Doing big things over there. Shout out to I always forget, but I got to give props to the man that laced up our shoes on our intro, on our theme song Caviar. You know, he's got his album out, his single out, Body Language. So go support that. Listen, TP, we got a lot to unpack, so let's get to it, man. You know, there's a lot of news going on in the NFL. A little bit with college. You know, some big games that transpired. We talked about on the Sunday brunch, but I definitely want to get into a little bit, and I know it could get a little away from us, but I definitely want to touch on what has been transpiring in the NBA before we get into some NFL talk. NBA is going to be kicking off pretty soon. Their camps are going to be opening up, and one person that won't be in camp is the Philadelphia 76ers guard, forward, whatever you want to call him, Ben Simmons, basically came out and said he will not report to camp. He wants to be traded. They've been trying to work out a deal to get him traded throughout the off season. It hasn't really come to pass. You know, as early as today, Doc Rivers wants to convince Simmons to stay, but it appears that Simmons hasn't answered anybody's calls. He actually went on the radio today to try to get him, you know, to change his mind. As early as today, I don't know if you saw, owner Joe Lacob of the Golden State Warriors was fined $50,000 for comments talking about Ben Simmons, because there's a lot of trade rumors about him possibly going to the Warriors. And, you know, that goes against the anti-tampering rule, which is only enforced when they feel like it, because everybody knows there's tampering once the, you know, free agency market opens up in the summer. So that just came across today. So, TP, I'd love to get your perspective real quick on everything that's transpiring with Ben Simmons and just your hot take on it, bro.
I'm at a point in time where I know Doc Rivers is probably trying to do the best thing that he can politically to, like, save or salvage the situation. But the way that he showed himself, and he's now a veteran being Ben Simmons, and now he's playing this, like, kid game with them, it's like, okay, well, hopefully a team bites. But other than that, you're approaching the month of October, which is 8 days away, where you're going to have to report to camp. But you're telling them, no, you're not going to stay, you're not going to come. So you're more or less in a situation where you're going to end up, like, losing a step or – well, not just saying losing a step, just not being ready for the vigors of the season. And you already have to prove to people that you can shoot the ball. Enough is enough.
Yeah.
Like, people are going to be like, well, what does he bring to the game, so on and so forth. People are going to want to see you go out there and perform, whether it's preseason, whether it's practice, whether it's you coming back to the game and doing what you need to do. Nobody wants to see Ben Simmons pull this stuff as of now on September 22nd. You should have did this in August. You could have did this at the latter part of July. You're doing this now. And making this even more of a bigger situation, and I'm not comfortable with it at all. But shout out to Doc Rivers, because this is a guy that I actually been talking heavily about for the past couple of years. I mean, more than all of his years in L.A. with the Clippers, and now him with Philly and having the number one seed, and then we really see that there's more there than just him being a coach. So I do have to, like, draw back a lot of what I said to him, and just putting a lot of pressure on him, and watching one of his all stars and the biggest piece to the puzzle, or one of the biggest pieces, because I say Embiid means more to Philadelphia than Ben Simmons, in having to address the season as it is. So I hope that a team actually bites at the bait. I don't want it to be a Golden State situation to make it easier for him. I want him to earn it. That's not earning it. That's what everybody's doing, is running the step, and hopefully they can give it to a bunch of shooters that can shoot long-range bombs and win games that way. No, Ben, it's not easy for anyone, including you, including the process that everybody in Philadelphia tried to trust, and you're letting them all astray. So I'm like shamelessly shaking my head at Ben Simmons, and hopefully they can turn this around for the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's kind of – he's being childish, to your point. I think both sides want to make a trade. I think, you know, Philadelphia's in their right to try to get the most trade value out of him as possible. This guy's making 30 plus million a year. He's an all-star. You know, you shouldn't sell low. You should be able to sell high. But from both perspectives, I think this, him not coming to camp, only, like, who does it benefit in the grand scheme? Who does it benefit? Only him. So what does that mean to me? He's selfish. He's completely selfish. He hasn't thought about anybody but himself. It doesn't help the league and the collective bargaining, because at least James Harden wanted to be traded. At least he showed up. Okay, now he didn't show up in the best of shape, as Aaron Simmons would say, and he's in the queue. I'm going to bring him in a second. But at least he showed up. Ben Simmons isn't even trying to show up. So now he needs to show up, because he needs to increase his trade value so that Philadelphia can move him for a fair price. Now, It's just not fair to anybody. It's, you know, and I don't know where he goes. I don't know who would want him. I would be surprised if anybody would take him on, unless, you know, it's about the fit. I'm going to bring in some of the chefs. They're trickling in into the kitchen. Everybody wants a late dish, but we got to feed everybody today. We'll feed you. So calling in from the 703 by way of Virginia, Mr. Simmons, Aaron Simmons himself. What's up?
What's going on, fellas? How you doing this evening?
We are good, man. So we're talking a little bit. We got the appetizers out before we start serving up main dishes. We want to talk a little Ben Simmons. Love to get your opinion on the latest and greatest on Ben Simmons, with him not going to report. You know, head coach Doc Rivers saying that, you know, hopes he could change his mind, and even Golden State owner was fined for quote-unquote tampering.
You know, honestly, for me, man, this doesn't come as a shock. You know, the writing's on the wall on the situation potentially going south quickly after the season ended. So the fact that we are on the doorstep of training camp and Ben Simmons has said that he didn't want to show and wasn't going to report shouldn't shock anybody. As a matter of fact, if anybody should be shocked, it should be the 76ers, because here's the deal. Like, for me, y'all, you know, kind of shows your hand, so to speak. You know, Ben Simmons doesn't want to play with y'all, period, end of discussion. So instead of, you know, moving him and getting whatever you could for him to recruit some type of draft capital, some type of player, whatever you had to do, so by the time, you know, the season gets here, you ain't got to deal with this no more, you let that joint linger. You know, and now we have a situation where he threatened to show up. Every time the 76ers talk, they're going to have to answer Ben Simmons' questions. This, to me, mm-hmm. in my opinion, is the basketball equivalent to what the Houston Texans do with Deshaun Watson. The relationship is going south. He doesn't want to be there. He's made it very, very clear that he doesn't want to be there. And instead of trying to, you know, rid yourself of the situation, you decide you want to try to get greedy, and you decide you want to try to get cute, and now you got a mess on your hands that is going to be even messier to clean up now. You know, Ben Simmons, where he's going to go, we don't know. We don't know. Is he, you know, is Golden State a possible landing spot? It wouldn't shock me. Hell, KD left OKC and went to Golden State, so Golden State is a possible landing spot for anybody. You know, Brooklyn, you know, heck, you know, they got an all-star cast of 1992 on their roster right now. So, heck, he can go there and, you know, coop up minutes. Heck, he can go to L.A. and play with LeBron. Who knows where he's going to go? But ultimately, the egg's on the 76ers' face because, again, you tried to get cute and you tried to recruit some and you tried to put your hand in the cookie jar to get more cookies. And now we're here and you ain't got nothing to show for it.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, Ben Simmons asked to be traded. I mean, I think the Sixers were willing to keep him and work with him. He demanded a trade, and then he kind of went ghost. He ghosted them completely. So they've been doing what they could. Now, they're in their right to get as much as they want for him. I think some of the offers are realistic. I think they'll have to come down. But, you know, I think Ben Simmons is the one that's kind of looking back, because he's the one publicly coming out and saying he wants out. And, you know, he just hasn't done anything to improve his value in any way by doing this little act here, holding out. Not, I mean, what is he doing in the offseason? Who knows? But I think he just kind of comes off as the bad guy. He's going to be the villain like me. I got Mr. Harvey, Mike Harvey in the building. I'm going to bring him in. Mike, how you doing?
What's up, man? I'm good. How are you doing tonight?
We're lovely. We're lovely, lovely. So, you know, love to get your quick take on Ben Simmons, and then we could throw out some other dishes.
Then we could start serving out main dishes. Okay. So
absolutely.
Since this is an appetizer, my friend, then I will be very brief, and I will not go in on Ben Simmons the way I kind of want to right now.
Okay.
I won't do that today. I will say this. The Philadelphia 76ers started this process, and they sunk for a while. They got Embiid. They got Ben Simmons. They went through some injury times, too. They really protected these guys the best they could, kind of brought them along, have stayed by these guys even at times, you know, through those growing pains, and when it has really kind of stunted their growth for a while. I mean, there's still some pieces away, but you know, this is a team that has made the second round of the playoffs a couple times. You could say they underachieved this year, having been the number one seed, and I get it. Joel Embiid wasn't right in that playoffs. And I will say this, though. When you take Ben Simmons with a number one overall pick, then you are going to be greedy for a little while when you first start trying to figure out what you can get back. Is that right? No. Are they going to have to come down? Yes. But here's the other thing. If I raise this guy, I'm sure Oklahoma City Thunder fans hated seeing Kevin Durant go somewhere else and win a ring. Kevin Durant was a lead dog somewhere. But if Ben Simmons can go to a team where he doesn't have to be a leader and he could be a complimentary piece, and because he does a lot of things well on the basketball court. Let's not get that wrong. He's not a shooter. There are other things he doesn't do. But if he's a complimentary piece that sometimes handle or, you know, put something back on a dunk or, you know, make some good passes or whatever else or get some rebounds and that kind of thing. If that's what you need him to do around some other stars, my God, is he going to make that kind of team better? And the Sixers didn't want to see him go to one of those teams and watch this guy that we fed, that we, you know, we put Similac in the bottle and gave it to him as he's trying to, like, grow his wings as a professional basketball player. And now he's going to go somewhere else and win? So
I don't know. I think
that's my piece of it. I mean, they're going to have to come down and they're going to have to, you know, do something with it right now, but you don't want to give him up for peanuts.
Yeah, I mean, they'd be fools to do that.
Go ahead.
I'm not saying give him up for peanuts, but at the end of the day, my granddad used to say this to me, you know, as a young little cat. Aaron, either boo-boo or get off the pot. You feel me? Stop sitting there just, you know, letting your butt get cold. At the end of the day, Ben Simmons don't want to be there. He's made it abundantly clear. The Sixers want to trade him, but like everybody's alluded to, their asking price is way too flipping high. Again, i.e., the Texans and Deshaun Watson. So, essentially, the Sixers are going to have to come down on what they're requesting, or this is going to become an even messier situation. Again, we're on the doorstep of camp. Basketball is going to be played in a month. You know what I'm saying? So, what are you planning on doing? It's not like they made subsequent moves to kind of like, okay, well, why don't you just go ahead and stay home while we figure this thing out and we'll eventually get you traded. So we're going to have, you know, this guy start at point guard and this has a captain off the bench and do that in the third. Like, they haven't made those necessary moves. Like, they're sitting here hoping and praying, wishing on the prayer that Ben Simmons, you know, has a change of heart and shows up. That's not happening.
If it doesn't, they play the young kid, Maxey, at point guard. Thibault and some other guys get some run. They try to have a healthy Embiid. If Curry hits shots, they think they can compete in the East as they figure this thing out. They would rather do that than give him up for what they think is much below his market value. But like you said, Barry, he hasn't done anything to really up his market value and make them want to give more for him. But if I'm the Sixers, I'm still like number one overall draft pick. They are going to have to come down on their price, but they're not ready to yet. And the one thing to be said, basketball will be played in a month. But let's keep in mind, it's a long, long, long season. It ain't like football, which can get late real quick. And in basketball, if you got the right team and you keep your head above water for a while, you got to think of basketball as almost more in the terms of baseball season, right? Like half the games, but still over a long period of time, you know, if you don't get it figured out for a couple of months, you could still make a run and do fine in the Eastern Conference. You may not be a top tier to the seed, but you could still do fine if you got the right team to compete. It's gonna be interesting to see what they do. But that team thinks that they're better with him on the roster than they are anybody with any of the trades that they were offered. I think, like you said, they're gonna have to do something, be flexible about it. But he's gonna get traded.
So let me get this straight. You sit there and let this man sit on your bench. You know, sit at the crib and you pay him whatever salary you have to pay him because you are too proud to come down and accept the fact that you should have moved him before the season got to this point?
They're gonna have to come down on the price, Sirius. I think that's what Ben Simmons is forcing them to do, right? I think by not showing up to camp, he's not increasing his value by showing up to camp, playing in a game, showing that he has gotten past the woes from the free throw line and not wanted to be assertive in the fourth quarter. He's not showing you any of that. He's showing, this is who I am, this is what I am, you're going to trade me as I am, right? So the Sixers have no choice to come down on the price, or they're going to be wasting, what, $33 million a year? On a guy that's not going to help their team, is not going to contribute. So, yeah, they're going to have to come down on the price. But go ahead, Mike. And then I want to get off this because I want to talk some other
things. Yeah, no, hopefully that conversation's being more had. That's the kind of persuading back and forth and maybe trying to get out of your field and say, if you come here, if you do come play for a while, And if you can respect the coaches at all and you come play for a while, you can up your value and it can have a lot more impact on where you go. So why don't you come help us help you if you really don't want to be here, but come see what happens. And I think they're hoping that cooler heads will prevail in that. I don't know that they will, but I think they're hoping that.
I hope so, too. I hope so, too. I mean, it's going to get ugly before it gets better. We'll have plenty of time to unpack it. But I really think the Sixers are going to have to – they're going to bend. And it's player empowerment, but Ben Simmons is setting the players back because at least Harden showed up. And, you know, at least, like, Deshaun Watson in football showed up. Ben's not even showing up. It's selfish. It's a selfish move. Calling number 929-477-2759. With the chefs, TP Timeless, the hero himself, the villain, Sirius, and Mike Harvey. Mike, I need a nickname for you, brother. I need something. I gotta find something.
Yeah, yeah. I want to use that instead of my name all the time, so we'll figure it out.
Yeah, everybody's got a nickname, but Mike, our chef here. So, you know, glad to be in here with the chefs. But I definitely want to switch gears to football. Sirius brought up something offline that I definitely want to touch on really quickly. And then we can get on to the game. So, Sirius, I know you wanted to talk about some of the officiating that you've seen in the league so far. So definitely go ahead, serve it out there, put the dish out there, and we'll opine on it.
So last year there was a total, the whole collective year 2020, there was a total of 11 taunting penalties that were called by the league. Now the league has gotten together and made a big to-do about it. Through 2 weeks of football, we've had 11 taunting penalties called through 2 weeks. And in my opinion, gentlemen, it's affecting the game because here's the deal. These men, you know, they're emotional. You know what I'm saying? You make a good catch, you make a good play, you celebrate that. We saw a dude get flagged last week for spinning the football after catching a first down. He just swept the football.
Yeah, I saw that.
And so
I saw that.
My question and my issue, and then I kind of recap it at the end, is the NFL really going too far with trying to police the emotions that are associated with this game?
So, yeah, I mean, so how many penalties did you say they had so far through the first two games, Sirius?
The first two games, there were 14 taunting flags being thrown, personal foul, 15-yard automatic first down, or whatever.
Yeah, I've seen you know a couple players. I think it was in the Rams game, and I can't remember the other game that actually got tossed out of the game. You know, for getting into it with an official. So the officials are really tightening across the board. I don't know if it was a mandate through the off season. You know, the taunting is kind of a different beast. TB, I'd love to get your opinion on the taunting that's going on in the NFL. Does it warrant flags in you know, some kind of disciplinary action, or is it something a part of the game that I've seen worse, but is it a part of the game?
I mean, you got to understand, we're in the era of bigger, stronger, faster individuals. A lot of these players are going to catch a pass and know that there's a 3rd and 8, and the blitz may be coming, and they catch the pass, and the defender wants to get there as best as possible to break the pass up. And not only do they not break the pass up, the ball gets caught. They get hit by a dude that's running a 4-4, 4-5, and weighs anywhere from 210 to 240, 250 pounds, and get up, and they say first down like they're not going to look at the dude that just hit them. Or they're not making a critical catch that may have ended the game. Like, they're not going to say something to the crowd or get amped up, or they're not going to spike the ball. Like, they have to know that these people are charged up, you know, full of energy and getting paid a handsome amount of money to make these plays happen. Like, enough is enough. Stop trying to police the game so much. Like, they already pulled you guys into an office in New York to tell you guys to calm down and let people be able to get up and spike the ball after a first half or, a first down or something like that, like, or letting the refs be patient after a touchdown or letting them dance a little more. And now you guys still kind of revert back to be like, okay, we don't want you guys to showboat a little too much. Enough is enough. like do what you need to do. If they throw the ball out of bounds and you need the ball, then throw the flag. But, like, you guys are really punishing teams just to prove a point. They are not hurting the integrity of the game. And I really think that it goes – and I hate to say this, Sports City, so excuse me for saying it. It goes along the lines of culture. Because you're not getting situations where they're not picking on, a Derek Carr for the situation or Ben Roethlisberger for the situation. They're picking on the playmakers that you notably know have culture and can spark energy out of a referee or a judge. Like at the end of the day, just let them go out there and play ball and stop refereeing the game to hurt the team and putting it from like a first and 10 to a first and 25 and making them climb uphill and you're messing the game up because you guys think that you just have to be the judge, the law, the jury, however you want to paint the picture. Enough is enough. You guys have done enough up until this point, and this is in every sport across the board where you can't, like, fan your hand at a referee knowing that they may have called a bogus call. Nobody's perfect, including you guys. Enough is enough.
I mean, I've seen it way too many times, TP, in baseball. You know, you argue a call or you disagree with a call, and they're quick to ring you up and throw you out of the game. You know, it's ridiculous. I mean, excuse me. Mike, I'd love to get your opinion on the tight play calling that we're seeing, or not play the penalties that we're seeing so far in the NFL with the taunting and et cetera.
These guys are so wound up on adrenaline, and you want them to be gladiators and go out there and play on this kind of, you know, hyped up and amped up. That's where you get the most exciting plays and the biggest hits and whatever, right? So when they celebrate something, they want to score. They want to whatever. Like, one of my favorite things when I hear a team score touchdowns is when it's on long enough and I got good HD sound around and there's good angles and whatever, and I can hear guys screaming, like, in exaltation and excitement when they, woo, you know what I mean, when they score. Like, it's so much fun to listen to, like, just players feel that kind of joy. Like, and I guess I'm a corny expression, man, but stop yucking people's yum, dog. Like, if you throw the ball in somebody's face or point fingers at them or whatever, or, you know, look at them and do the old DX, like, suck it sign or something, then, you know, maybe you charge them in something like that, man. But if these guys are just kind of celebrating a little bit, like, get out of here. Like, let people have fun. Like, you're putting your career, your life on the line. Like, you know, get me wrong, you're getting paid handsomely to do it, but you're putting everything out there like that. Like, let people enjoy it. Let them celebrate. Let them create. I mean, you're creating memories. Let them enjoy the memories or do something to capture it. Why not? Like, get out of here. Like, don't take all the fun. The NFL is a no-fun league, man.
All day. I mean, it's been the no-fun league for a long time, and I don't get it. I mean, at some point you just got to let these guys be. You know what I mean? You just got to let them be. And, you know, as long as they're not, you know, like, in my opinion, delaying the game, like holding up the flow of the game, like, you know, with their excessive, you know, kind of taunting kind of thing, if you want to call it, then just let it be. You know what I'm saying? But, 14 penalties through two games when you had, what, 11 all last year, serious? I mean, that's just unacceptable. I mean, how are you supposed to survive like that? You know what I mean? How are you supposed to conduct a game like that? So hopefully they get it together. Hopefully they clean it up. It would be a shame to let them not be able to just be, you know? So hopefully, you know, God. Call in number 929-477-2759 with you for the next 30 minutes with the chef, TP Timeless, Mike Harvey, Mr. Sirius Simmons himself in the building, Malik in the background. I definitely want, you know, we kind of went over the week two games yesterday. I definitely don't want to go game by game. I definitely just want to look at some of the teams that have kind of, you know, bubbled up. You know, after two games, you know, it's always like who's on top and who's not. But I'll start with you, Mr. TP Timeless, with my question. Basically, out of all of the 2-0 teams, we have the Las Vegas Raiders, we got the Denver Broncos, we got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Carolina Panthers, the San Francisco 49ers, and the Los Angeles Rams. Which one of these teams are you most surprised at a 2-0 start, and which one of these 2-0 teams are you the most impressed by? So out of those teams, who are you the most surprised is 2-0 to start the season, and who out of those 2-0 teams do you think is the most impressive?
Impressive would be the Arizona Cardinals. Surprised, I'd be the Panthers. The Panthers could actually end up being 3-0. And as much junk as I talked about Sam Darnold since his junior year at USC up until now, I did not believe in him, and he proved me right all the way from college, all the way through his years in New Jersey or New York, however you want to paint the picture. And he's off to a golden start right now. Even though that start off was shaky up against the Jets, and knowing that was a a revenge game, but for him to pull out the win up against the Saints, and the Saints actually had a good game up against the Saints, and they actually took care of business and closed them out pretty well in that game, he's potentially going to have the Panthers at a 3-0 situation if they can handle business tomorrow. So I am definitely shocked and impressed with the way that the Cardinals came out the gate. For them to win that game up against the Titans to start the season now, and no less to pull this off last week also. So, like I'm impressed with what the Cardinals are able to do. I don't even feel like we've seen their full potential. And this speaks volumes on Kyler Murray right now, him being a dual threat, not only to Cranley, but the way that this guy's throwing the ball. And don't forget his D-hop and A.J. Green. A.J. Green scored a touchdown too. So now is this the revitalization of A.J. Green alongside D-hop and all of the receivers that they have underneath? They could be scary good if they could just get a consistent running game to go along with their threat of passing the ball and another running back and Kyler Murray throwing the ball around a lot. So that's impressive for what they've been able to do.
Yeah, I'm impressed by the Cardinals too. I didn't miss them, but yeah, they're definitely impressive. Sirius, I'd love to get your opinion. Who are you most surprised that is 2-0 right now, and who you think is the most impressive 2-0 team?
Okay, so the surprising one, TP, alluded to that, was the Arizona Cardinals. They have 9 lives because if you want to get technical, they should have lost last week, but find a way to get it done. The team that I'm impressed with, ironically, you may want to call me crazy, but the team we just lost to, which is the Las Vegas Raiders. The way they went about their business, beating the Baltimore Ravens week one, nobody picked them when they win that ball game, and then to come in the Heinz Field on week two and win that game handily with no running game, with offensive line issues, with rookies and, second and, first-year players on the defense side of football was very, very impressive. So I tip my cap to the Las Vegas Raiders. They may mess around and go 3-0 this week, too, because they play the Miami Dolphins without Tua. And we don't know what the heck's going on with Miami right now. So, like TP alluded to, the Carolina Panthers could be 3-0 this week. So can the Las Vegas Raiders, if you want to get technical there. So very, very proud of those two teams.
Yeah, I mean, I have been on my soapbox about the Carolina Panthers and what they've been doing. Very impressive so far. Mike Harvey, I would love to get your opinion. Who out of these 2-0 teams are you most surprised by? And then which team are you most impressed by as a 2-0 team?
Okay, so some of it's going to be kind of redundant on what these guys said, because there's not that many, and you go third. The Raiders have impressed me for some of the same reasons. When we got 3 of us or 4 of us, it has to happen to somebody, right? So it's my turn. No, but I like the Raiders because they are what they've done and the teams they beat, like Sirius just said. But also you think about, like, later on in the year, man, when you're starting to figure out playoff time and you start seeing these tiebreakers, this team needs this team to lose and this team to win or whatever to get one of those spots. Winning games like this and all those lines, it's going to say needs the Raiders to lose in order to make the playoffs. Like, they could put themselves in a position to make sure that they're there in the postseason, which would be a good step forward for this franchise. Now, that being said, Derek Carr has looked very good. I think, at the other teams, and I kind of go back and forth, but I probably have to go Panthers as well for the same reasons. I just think they've probably – none of these other teams – all these other teams have at least beat one other team that's not that great. So maybe Arizona, maybe getting Minnesota. Maybe Minnesota's better than you know, the Jets, for example. So that looks a little better. But, I kind of think between, obviously, Arizona and Carolina, that for all the reasons that you guys said, Kyler Murray looks very good early. Christian McCaffrey looks to be healthy. Time mentioned Darnold. He's looking good. And it's just it's a good look for those two franchises right now.
Yeah, I am impressed with Kyler Murray. I said it in one of my blogs that I posted yesterday on the Sports City Chefs website. Go read the blog. I am impressed. He's putting the NFL on notice that he's here. He's ready to go. AJ Green, it was great to see him get in the end zone. But you know what? The other receiver is impressing me more, Rondale Moore. I said in the blog, too, if you don't have him on fantasy and he's available, you better get him right now. He's electric. He's going to make some big plays down the stretch. But I love what the Panthers are doing. That's a fast, athletic defense. I love watching them. They fly to the football. It's not like the old Panthers defenses that we've been seeing be at the top of the league, but they have a lot of nice pieces, getting Horn and company. I like what they're doing in Carolina, and TP's right. I mean, we can't get on Darnold. I mean, I think all the ghosts are gone. He's good. He got away from Adam Gase, and now all he's seeing is touchdowns. So, and it's nice to hand off to Christian McCaffrey and have a little bit of protection too. But and the Raiders, I like what the Raiders are doing. Derek Carr is really impressive. He's the passing leader by far right now. And the Denver Broncos, though, they got a easy schedule against my Giants and the Jaguars, but they've taken care of business. Teddy Bridgewater looks good, throwing touchdowns. The defense is flying, so respect to them. So a lot of impressive teams. I'm surprised nobody's impressed by the Bucs. I guess they're supposed to be 2-0.
Yeah.
Good win against the Cowboys. But, I mean, that defense, kind of giving up some points here and there. So, I don't know. I think they got some work to do. But, 2-0 to start, can't argue with that. Did somebody want to say something?
You know my song. There's a story.
What's that?
Of a guy named Brady.
He said he's going to play into 50, TP. I mean, and I believe it.
I actually thought about the pushback of them trying to, I guess, convince him to retire. They said if he plays to 50, then it's a Giselle problem. And I'm like, yo, that's right. Like, he really is going to play till he's 50. And, like, what, Giselle's going to be, what, 45? Like, what are you doing? What's going on? Like, I don't know. Like, did she ever get mad, or is she just going to just watch him just continue to play his dream out? So, I don't know. I don't know if that's a convincing thing to try to get him to quit playing football or what, but I mean, why not? I feel like he's had several conversations with Michael Jordan, and I know Mike probably told him to play as much as you can, and I think he's probably going to try to ride the storm out. But if he gets like 8, 9, and 10 Super Bowls, it's like, good goodness. Like, there's nothing else to watch anymore. Like, you're hopeful in September to watch his dude hoist the trophy again. It's like, no. Like, no.
But, one thing, I hate that comparison when people compare Tom Brady to Michael Jordan. Two different sports. Come on.
I'm not comparing them. They actually know.
No, no, not you. I hear it. You know what I mean? Like, I hear people doing it. I'm like, it's two different sports. It's just, come on, stop. Who's a goat of all goats? Like, who cares? But I agree with you. Like, if he keeps playing, like, we're going to be – he's going to be a double-digit guy. I don't see how – I mean, they're saying his arm speed – is faster now at 40. How old is he? 44. It's
44.
Faster now than when he was younger. That's insane. Give him credit for taking care of his body and the trainers that he works with in the off season. You got to give them credit too. They're keeping him healthy. They're keeping his body young. And you know what? At this point, I believe he can keep playing. Like, he's that Steve DeBerg that we grew up with, right? Like, Steve DeBerg played till he was 46, 47, I think. He can keep playing to that and beyond if he keeps his body in this kind of shape. So props to him. But I definitely want to ask Mike, and I'll come to you first, Mike. So out of the teams, and you don't have to be 0-2, you could just be unimpressive. Like, who out there – if there's one team or a couple of teams, maybe or whatever, maybe it's just one and we can start throwing some others around. But who is the team that you looked at after week two and you're not impressed? Like, you're actually disappointed in how they look or they play or their record or what have you?
I don't think the New York Giants look like a very good football team right now. And yeah, maybe when Saquon comes along, but probably not the worst. I know there's a couple of other easier candidates. So real quick, I mean, I would really say that, but I think the other ones I've like expected. You know, Atlanta's not very good right now, and I expected that.
Mm-hmm.
But Calvin Ridley in particular, but Atlanta's just not very good right now, and they're struggling. And that's the team that I don't know if I'm even really disappointed. I have no desire to really see them play right now. They're just not very good.
Yeah, I mean, Giants. Thanks for that. Thanks for reminding me that. Sirius, I'll come to you, bro. I know where you might go, but I still have to ask, like, who has not impressed you so far in this NFL season? Only two games in, but, you know, you're not liking what you're seeing so far.
I'm trying very, very, very hard, but I can't bring myself to not mention my squad. I'm sorry, call me a homer, but we have looked like dog crap for 2 weeks. We got a win week one. But again, if you read what I said on blog, sportsmanchef.com, go read it. If you listen to what I said on Fingers Food, YouTube, sportsmanchef.com, go listen to it. It's pretty much the same copy and paste from a season ago. I'm disgusted. I'm annoyed. And no other team really does it for me like that squad does. I can say the Giants. I can say Washington. I can say anybody on the team, but nobody else hits me like that. And so I'm sorry, Pittsburgh. Get it together. Get it together.
that could go a lot of different ways. I kind of agree. I'm just not liking what I'm seeing in Pittsburgh. PP. It looks like both of our teams are 0-2 and unimpressive. But, I mean, is there a team that either 0-2 or maybe even 1-1 who you're looking at and you're not impressed with what you're seeing so far?
And I'm going to start right where you left off at. It's the game that they're playing each other, and it's two teams. Your team versus the Dirty Birds in Georgia. Okay. I was going to say South Georgia, but they're not in South Georgia. They're in the northern part of the state. The Falcons got Kyle Pitts. Everybody had high aspirations to see him come out the gates and do well. The way that they lost their first game at home up against Philly and then they come out and lose their second game also, it's like, when do they get a win? Do they go into the Meadowlands and steal one in MetLife? Like, I don't know. And then looking at the Giants, for the receiver that they do have, they have a stellar receiver core, and they're 0-2 right now. And they're forcing the ball to Saquon again. So you're gonna sit up here and watch Saquon get hurt again? That's what you want? You're really going to keep running him straight up the middle? Majority of the time they run him up the middle with no fullback. This dude just tore an ACL. Wait, hold on. I don't know. Hear me. This dude just tore an ACL, and you're forcing him to run the ball again. You know he's a workout fanatic. This guy squats 400-plus pounds, and you're going to hurry up and rush him to be Saquon of, what, a year ago, 2 years ago, a year and a half? Like, what are you in a hurry for? Like, Danny Dimes is the guy that you're hoping that gets this done, and he's running the ball better than he's getting the ball out and taking advantage of the game. And even though he impressed me somewhat passing the ball up against the football team secondary, this has to be consistent. They have to close these games out. They have to score on drives and win these things. I'm not really impressed with what the Giants have done up until this point, especially with the pieces that they have from Sterling Shepard. That game could have been won. And Slayton just reels that in. He's by himself and hits both of his hands. That's a catchable ball. It's not like it was out of his reach or out of his fingertips and you say, oh, well, two hands touch the ball. No, that's a catch that he has to come down with. He didn't fall down and die for it or nothing. It was a catchable ball. And when do they put a win together? This has to be the more intriguing game of the weekend on who really wants to win. Do the Falcons win or do the Giants win? Because I feel like they're going to get to the third quarter and be like, you know what, you can win. Giants will be like, no, you can win. The Falcons will be like, no, you can win. No, you can win. You want to win? Well, then hold my beer. Well, I'm going to lose this game. You can hold my beer. I'm going to lose with you. Watch this. We're going to go all the way to 0-0-0 and then be like, wait, who has a higher score? Oh, we don't even know who's going to win a game. So, like, that's the type of situation we're faced with. The Falcons and the Giants, I'm thrilled on how these guys are not putting together a better situation. In fact, the Falcons thought it was better to get rid of Julio Jones. I'm still scratching my head till this day.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think it's kind of like a I was encouraged. I wasn't as upset after week two against the Washington football team. I thought they played a lot better. Daniel Jones put in probably one of his better games. I think in all though, yeah, not where we want to be. We shouldn't be an 0-2 football team. But I think one of the teams I'm least impressed with, and I hope you guys walk with me here, are the Indianapolis Colts. After two games, 0-2, everybody thought by getting Carson Wentz and adding him to an offense that had some weapons, had a nice trio of running backs and Taylor, Hines, and Mack, some decent receivers, and then a really solid defense. That defense hasn't performed. I feel like the offense has kind of sputtered, and now we talked about it last night on the NFL free-for-all on Tuesdays at 9 o'clock with Sirius and the villain. Shameless plug. That, you know, now Carson Wentz has two sprained ankles or whatever. Like, where they do that at? Like, how do you sprain them both? You know what I mean? Like, I'm just not impressed with the Colts, what I've seen. I think they're in trouble. I don't know how they fix it. Now, I don't know if Wentz is even going to be available for their next game. I mean, does anybody know if Carson's going to actually be able to play this week against the Titans? But, I mean, you know, Titans coming off a must win against Seattle. Now, you know, they host the Colts and could probably put them in a deep hole 0-3. You don't want to start the season 0-3. 0-2 is bad enough. 0-3 is not where you want to be. I don't know if anybody disagrees or, you know, is there another team you want to throw out on the fire?
I will say this. If they had not pulled it out in the end of this last game, I think we might have also been saying the same thing about the Tennessee Titans. No play, starting the season with back-to-back games against the NFC West is a tough road to start the season. But we might have been saying the same thing about the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, absolutely. Anybody else?
Himself in game two.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did, because he wasn't looking good up until then.
And same with Derrick Henry. Last half of the game, because he wears on you, as we talk about with the bigger backs, and then he excelled. So they redeemed themselves in that second half. It was looking bleak for the Titans in the first six quarters of the season.
Absolutely. I mean, anybody else want to add to that? No?
Okay.
Yeah,
we go.
Yeah, I mean, what's that, TV?
No, I said, no, we got it. We can get to you.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, yeah, I wasn't impressed by them. You know, listen, it's early in the season, but, you know, I definitely want to just kind of ask we went by the team. Now I want to ask each guy what player. And I think we kind of mentioned a couple here and there, but I couldn't ask what player, but you know what? I think we kind of covered that. Let's get into the game tomorrow night, Thursday night. We got the Panthers, who we mentioned, going up against the Jaguars. You know, it's been a rough go from the college to the pro level for Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence. They got off to an 0-2 start. Now they have to play a Panthers team that looks pretty darn good. Like I said, the defense is flying. The offense is looking good. I'll start with DTP. What do you think is going to be the outcome of this game tomorrow night with the Panthers and the Jaguars? Did the Jaguars finally get into the win column, or the Panthers keep it going?
I think tomorrow actually is the Panthers and the Texans.
You know what?
I'll take off the blazer, loosen up the tie. Don't worry, I got you. I'll come and save
you. Thank
you.
You gotta save the villain. I apologize.
You two need saving too. you know, you two need saving too. So,
and you let me go,
like
too. You let me go.
3-0. Wait, say that again.
We didn't let you. You let me go. You let me rock on it, guys. It's like, you couldn't come in and correct. You let me go.
People are gonna let you do that. So I'm here for you. Listen.
Hey, what is
life
that?
Listen. Life is harsh, hug me. Don't reject me. I mean, reckless and disrespect me. Blatant or disrespect, you know, indirectly. I got you. Don't worry. So, with the fact of the matter is, I feel like they will actually go 3-0, and that is the Panthers. I think they actually take care of business and cover the 8. I just don't believe in the Texans now that Tyrod went down. Tyrod actually made that game interesting up against the Browns, going back to a team that actually traded them. And once he got hurt, everything kind of went downhill. This guy that's starting for them is a first-time starter. It's in Houston. I know the electricity will probably be in the building. He probably may start out good in the first drive, but it's like, what happens in the third or fifth drive, like when the game could be on the line, or like the game is interesting, not on the line, but like he has to make plays, a third and long, and if he can make the throw. So these are the things that I'm waiting to see the challenge, because they don't really have the big name receiver there. They do have name receivers, but we'll see if he can get the job done. I feel like Darnold is rolling right now. There's no time to stop at this point, and Christian McCaffrey is healthy, and he's actually been shouldering the load a lot. So I feel like the Panthers take care of business on the road in Texas.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not impressed with what I've seen with David Mills in the game yesterday when he had to come in for Tyrod Taylor. So, I mean, you know, the Panthers' defense is flying. He could be had. Mike, I'd love to get your opinion on Panthers versus Texans. The Texans are playing in Houston. The Texans are playing, guys, right? So I'd love to get your opinion on tomorrow night's game.
I hope so. Did you hear another scheduled game? I don't know. I might be wrong.
I could have. I literally, my brain was not working today.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So I 100% agree with Time's prediction, especially if Tyrod Taylor were playing this game, I would maybe have a different story with it being in Houston. Sometimes this Thursday night can be trap games for favorites and whatever else and coming back. But I just think right now, not only is McCaffrey doing well, but like Robbie Anderson, DJ Moore, those guys are still out there making plays. You got Terrence Martin, you got some weapons on offense, and Houston doesn't seem to me like a team that's really going to be putting a lot of pressure on the quarterback right now. So I like Carolina to take care of business on the road tomorrow too and move to 3-0 and, you know, try to establish a foothold, you know, like towards the top of that division. They're not catching Tampa, but at least to show that they're going to be formidable this year. And I look for Carolina to make a statement tomorrow night that they can take care of the games that they need to take care of, that they're supposed to win.
Absolutely. Serious, I'd love to get your opinion on this game tomorrow night.
You know, honestly, for me, gentlemen, I'm not going to waste anybody's time. I echo what everybody else has said. I think Carolina goes out there, takes care of business. You said, TP, that Carolina covers the 8. I think this is going to get ugly. That defense is better than advertised. That offense seems to, you know, start the season clicking on all cylinders. You know, so, and you get an opponent coming around that is without their starting quarterback. They got significant issues on both sides of the football. Give me Carolina to win this one big. I think Carolina blows them out.
Yeah, Panthers are laying 8 points. I'll take that. Like I said, not impressed with what I've seen with Mills. Panthers defense is flying. I'm actually picking them for my survivor pool. That's my pick of the week. So I'm 2-0 so far, clearly. I'm going to roll the dice on the Panthers. Sam Darnold, do not see any ghosts until next week. but no, I just don't. I don't like what I see. So real quick, actually, we got 5 minutes left right here on the Callers Cookout. I want to talk about one game really quickly, the Buccaneers and Rams. But now I think it's Antonio Brown. He might not be able to play in COVID protocol. I think it was a trade. Even though he's vaccinated, he's on the COVID list. He has to test negative for I think a day or a couple of tests before he's eligible to come back in. Really quick, TP, COVID's rearing its ugly head. I mean, you know, are we going to dodge a bullet? I think Zach Ertz is also on the COVID list as well, and I think there's another player too. So, what are we going to do with COVID? Are we going to get through it? I mean, the players going to take, you know, are they going to be able to finish games, or are we going to see a lot of players in and out of the lineup with COVID?
You said, what are we going to do? And you're asking me. I wish I did have the answers, because then I'd be a trillionaire. I could answer the trillion-dollar question. So, I don't know. Shoot at the air. Spray lights on every step we take. I don't know what to do. So, I'm hoping Antonio gets out there because he's on my fantasy team, so I'm being selfish. And last week, Brady only targeted him like twice, and they still took care of business up against Atlanta. So I was hoping that this would be a makeup game up against the Rams, and being a high-profile type of game, this would be something I figured that would have been good. But more or less, I'm worried about Antonio Brown's health, man. I don't want to see nobody in trouble, and knowing that people are passing away and that this is a devious, you know, pandemic that's going on. I still think the game is still going to be good. It's Brady versus Stafford. I've seen it happen like 3 or 4 years ago when we actually pulled it out up against the Patriots. So Stafford has beaten Brady before, but the edge, historically, that's the only time Stafford has beaten Brady. So we'll see if he could beat him with a better defense and him being at home in L.A. So we'll see Brady away from Florida and if he can go on the road and win up against Stafford and Aaron Donald and company.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, listen, I hope – I don't think it will affect the game, but, you know, the COVID – you just got to hope that, you know, the players are safe, that they're, you know, hopefully vaccinated. We're hearing, you know, rumors out of even Brooklyn Nets camp that two players who won't remain named can't report to the team because New York is basically making you, if you're going to work, you have to get vaccinated. They don't want to get vaccinated. So, you know, listen, just do your due diligence, man. Just, you know, don't talk to me about research, man. You can't find anything on Google, you know. You don't have more information than the scientists. So let's go. Let's get it together. But that's it on our show. Let's get some closeouts, some plugs, all that good stuff. Mike Harvey, one of our chefs, thanks for calling in. Give me a quick plug, bro.
Quick plug, man. Barbershop and Clubhouse always got good things going on. Lots of other clubs going through that, more conversations and even lines and all different stuff. So come join us at the Barbershop and Clubhouse. Sports City Chefs, merchandise on both sites, man. Much love to TP, Barry, Sirius. Always fun chopping up with you guys. Thanks for having me as a part of the group, as always.
Absolutely. We love having you chefing up and cooking up as a chef with us, man. So appreciate it. Sirius, you know what to do, bro. Give us a plug, bro.
Yo, man, it's your boy, Sirius, repping that 412 and the 703, man. Such a pleasure to be here with you guys on another edition of the Cookout, man. Definitely, like my man Mike alluded to, check out the blogs, the merchandise, everything that's going on sportsandchefs.com. Obviously, check us out on Clubhouse. I say this all the time. If you like what you hear here on this network, you like what you see and hear over there on that network as well, man. A lot of crossover going on. People coming in here that's over there. People over there coming in here. I mean, it's all love, man. It's all love, man. So we're definitely proud to be affiliated with that with that network over there. Definitely check us out on YouTube, like I alluded to, man. Finger Foods and some other stuff popping up over there. With that being said, man, like my man Barry alluded to, stop being stupid, man. Get yourself together, get your shots, do what you got to do. That way we can get out of this thing, man. With that being said, God bless. I'll catch you guys on the flip side.
That's right. You know, get that shot, and you got to get in the booty. Get the shot, man. Just do what you got to do. Listen, sportscityshots.com. Get to the website, the blogs, the interviews. We got fresh content coming up every day. We got some new stuff coming. Get to the YouTube channel exclusive finger foods, like Sirius said. Get to the website. We got merchandise. Sponsorship program is on the way. We got sponsors lined up. We just got to get it organized. We're doing a lot of big things. So, TP, you know what to do. Give us the close, bro. Yeah, I think he's on mute. I do it all the time.
Okay, people stay tuned to the boxing match that is coming up. It is Canelo versus Caleb Plant. The fireworks are already lit. These guys had a shoving match, and Caleb I got cut, and Canelo got slapped. So that fight already feels the type of way. I think Caleb could pull the upset off. I hope his cut heals as soon as possible because I don't want anything lingering going into that fight. I'm ready for all the electricity. Stay tuned to the Baseball Buffet, which should be taking place tomorrow. We have a football game taking flight. We should have the college campus tailgate on Saturday. Stay tuned to everything. Watch us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We got it all. We going down on everything, Spotify, Apple. We already know how this goes down, people. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, bloom like a flower in June. Superman versus MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City Chefs, Chefs.
Woo! Connecticut.